Today's daf in the Sechet Kiddushin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Samach Zayin, and we're holding at the Halakha Mishnah on Samach Vav Amud Beit. So until this point, we've discussed what is included in the concept of ownership, what is the meaning of T'nai, how does it define the Das of the person, therefore what Das is included, what person in terms of Ketana Nara is the one who can have the Das? What level of ownership are we talking about? And today, we need to discuss, which we've never spoken about before, what type of person is included in the concept of Kedushin. Because, as we know from Yevamos, we have many situations of people that are not allowed to participate in the whole concept of Kedushin. And we also know that Kedushin, the concept of Kedushin, perhaps not the actuality of Kedushin, but the concept of the possibility of Kedushin, is central to the idea of Yichus, and will define what is considered to be a Mamzer. Because the way that we paskin is that if there is no Kedushin, then there is a Mamzerus that's Chal on the child, who can then not be part of Kahal Hashem. So now we need to define what type of Isurim prevent Kedushin, and what are the results of the involvement in a pregnancy where Kedushin is impossible? And what is the difference between cases where Kedushin is possible, but nonetheless prohibited? And what's the impact of the child then? So all of these things come about through understanding our next Mishnah, which is, Kol makom sheyesh kedushin ve'in avira. So the general rule is, now it's going to turn out, in the Gemara, that this is not really a general rule. So even though it says kol makom over here, that's only coming to add additional cases, but it's not a rule. And that's precisely why the Mishnah defines itself, ve'ezuzu. So understand it that way to make it easier right up front. So kol makom sheyesh kedushin ve'in avira, where there's no problem of kedushin being chal, and there's also no avera that's involved that the Torah said that you're not allowed to marry the two of you. So in that case, in order to establish what the child is, since we always go b'acharei mishpechotam, which it says in the Torah, so when we were making all of our senses, we said the mishpechotam levet avotam, which means that we define families by the male. But that's only where we don't have any complications, where the Kedushin was correct and there was no Issur that was involved. So what do I mean, says the Mishnah? The Ezezu. Now, this Ezezu is obviously limiting the extent of what appeared to be an overall ruling of Kol Makom Sheyesh Kedushin. When I say Kol Makom, what am I referring to? Well, I'm referring to, let's say, in a case where either the female is a Kohenet or a Levia or a Yisraelit, and she married either a male who's a Kohen or a male who's a Levi or a male who's a Yisrael, so then the halacha is that it goes according to the father. If the father is a Kohen, then the child is a Kohen, even though the mother was a Yisraeli. Okay, that's a well-known thing. Now another, what appears to be a klal, but isn't, is just adding perhaps a case, but kol makom sheyesh kedushin. Now there are times where the kedushin will be chal, but you weren't supposed to marry a woman like this. The yesh avira, so then the vlad goes after whichever one, the male or the female, is a pogum. So what do I mean by saying that? Well, and again, when I say what do I mean, I'm obviously limiting the extent of the general ruling. So what do I mean? So I mean an almana l'kohen gadol, where over there, yesh kedushin. That's true according to everybody, we said almost, that even though it's nisr lav, but in the case of isur kahuna, the kedushin is chal. So almana l'kohen gadol, grusha v'chalutz l'kohen hedyet, a mamzeret, which is an iser lav, to a Yisrael, which the way we paskin is that kedushin is chal b'isrei lavim, or a nitina, which is the equivalent of rabbonin mamzeres, a bat Yisrael, or vice versa. Let's say a regular bas Yisrael marries a male who's a mamzer and a nitin. So there it doesn't matter whether it's the male that has the problem of being the mamzer, or it's the female that has the problem of being a chalala. It doesn't matter. You always take on the problem. Therefore, if the female is a chalala, so then that means that the child will be pasul. Now, of course, this gets into the machlokas we had earlier about whether benos Yisrael and mikvah tahir or lechalolim and so on. All of that we'll be discussing. V'chol mi she'ein la alav kiddushin. What about in a case where someone does not have the possibility of having kiddushin with this person, but that doesn't mean that there's something about the person that prevents kiddushin at all to anybody? Yesh la alacherim kiddushin. So we have lots of cases where a completely normal person, nonetheless to you, is impossible to marry because of the Isser Arayas. And if there's an Isser Arayas with an Isser Koris, so then everybody agrees that Kedushin is not Chal. And we're going to talk about where we learned this out. This brings back a lot of our discussions in Maseches Yevamos that define where it is that the Torah said that a Yevama should be taken by Yibam. But in this case, other people could have Kedushin. So in that case, the Vlad would be a Mamzer. And what do I mean when I say that? Well, Zabal Achas Mikol HaRayot SheBetorah. This is a case where there's Chayvei Krisis. We're calling Kol HaRayot SheBetorah. We mean where there's a Chiyuv Koris. So for you, there's no Kedushin, but there's no reason why this woman can't marry somebody else and why you can't marry somebody else. And the final case would be Kosh Misha Ein La Lo Alav Lo Alachirim. How about in a case where the person involved does not have any connection to Kedushin whatsoever to anyone? In that case, Avlad Kimota. Then we always go according to the mother. And in that case, what would that be referring to? Well, that would be, let's say, a Jew marries a Goya, marries a Shivcha. So in that case, the defining nationality, Legabe being a Ben Yisrael, would go according to the mother. So this is basically a Mishnah that appears to sum up the issues, but actually, because of the fact that it only gives some examples in each direction, ends up leaving us with a lot of wide open questions and allows us to get into, in the Gemara, many different shitas about what is actually included in the Din of Mamzeres, what actually prevents Kedushin. Much of the sugyas that we had in Yevamos will be brought to mind today, Bezrat Hashem. Koma kom sheyesh Kedushin. Okay, so what do we say in the Mishnah? Wherever Kedushin is possible. Omalei Rabbi Shimon or Rabbi Yochanan, what kind of rule is that? I understand, that's absolutely not true. It says wherever there's Kedushin and there's no Avera involved, you always go according to the male. But that isn't so. You're telling me to koma kom sheyesh Kedushin ein Avera Vlad holech achar hazachar? You want me to show you a case where that's absolutely not true? How about a case of a ger who went ahead and married a mamzeret? Now, there's no Isser, and there's no Avera, correct? So in that case, Yesh Kedushin, Ve'en Avera, in which case it should be a good example of the opening rule in the Mishnah. But it's not. Because in that case, the halacha is that we do not go according to the father, because we see in the Braita that Rabbi Yossi says, if a ger marries a mamzeret, even though there's no Avera, and even though there is Kedushin, nonetheless, the child is a mamzer, like his mother. Uh-oh. But you said the child always goes according to the male. So said Rabbi Yossi. So the Mishnah is not accurate. It's giving us a rule which is not correct. Omar Lay said Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon, who says that the Mishnah is going on libet Rabbi Yossi? Not everybody agrees that the child is a mamzeret in that case. Mi savarta masnisa Rabbi Yossi. The Mishnah is going a libet Rabbi Yehuda. Now Rabbi Yehuda holds that actually the chatchila there's an iser in a ger marrying a mamzeres, and therefore, and we're going to go into this later, this is a case where yesh kedushin v'yesh avera. And what's the rule over there in the second rule of the Mishnah? Rule two is avad olech achar hapagum. In this case, we give the child the din of a mamzer. So it's completely consistent. The first klal is consistent, and the second klal is consistent. You're the one who's making problems by saying, well, according to Rabbi Yossi, it's not consistent. Okay, fine. So it's not going according to Rabbi Yossi. But wait a minute. If it's true that we're including this in rule two, right, in which there's yesh kedushin, but also yesh avera, and the vlad holecha har hapagum, that's rule two, then why wasn't it listed? You said in the Mishnah, the Ezuzu, and you didn't say it. No, excuse me. The Mishnah's not coming to list every case when it says the Ezuzu. It said a klal, right? So what's the klal? Kol makom. Okay, so I understand. I'm telling you klal. I need to spell it out to you, do I? So it says kol makom. That's coming to include all cases of Rule 2. All cases of Rule 2 includes this case. So what's the problem? Okay. Or you know what? What if we take the whole thing back? I don't care. Let it be going like Rabbi Yossi. So now what do you say? Now you're saying that, but this is a violation of Rule 1. Because according to Rabbi Yossi, in a case where there's Kedushin and there's no Avera, then there would be a halacha that it goes according to the male. And the halacha is, according to Rabbi Yossi, that it goes according to the mamzeres, who's obviously the female. So it's a violation, right? No. You know what? The way you're reading the Mishnah is completely off. The Mishnah is not coming to tell you a rule. There is no Rule 1, and there is no Rule 2. There's Case 1 and Case 2. The point of the Mishnah, if you put together in each one of the cases that the Mishnah lists, it also gives a definition, the Ezuzu. So I mean, what is that supposed to mean? If you meant this to be a general rule that would apply in all cases, why do you say the Ezuzu? I mean, maybe you could say Ketzad, I'll give you an example. But when you say the Ezuzu, you're saying, and what is included in that, as opposed to other cases that are not included in that, right? Therefore, the Mishnah is not meant to be read as a list of general rulings. So what's your problem? In that case, the Mishnah said, and don't think that I mean all cases, because Ezuzu, what am I referring to? I'm referring to a Kohen and a Levi and a Yisrael who marries a Yisraelis or a Kohenes or a Levia. But, I mean, this case that you're talking about, in which we have the marriage of a Ger and a Mamzeret, I'm not including that. And therefore, the Ezuzu should signal in your brain, wait a minute. So when you say, and what is that? Well, what is not that? Oh, this is a case that is not that. So the Mishnah is just pointing out that there are cases where the ruling would be. And there's more than the cases that you're thinking of right now. That's what the klal is, but it's not a general rule. It's just like a ribui. And the case of Ezuzu is also not a general rule. It's just a miut to tell me that I don't mean all of the rules, in which case everything goes fine. The actuality is that our Mishnah can go like Rabbi Yossi perfectly well, who said that a case of a ger shenasa mamzeres is yesh kedushin ve'ein avera. So why does the Mishnah say havlad alecha ha-zachar? It doesn't. It says that only applies to Ezuzu. So this is excluded by the fact that Ezuzu is a mute. So wait, hold on one second. So you're telling me that means that Ezuzu is a comprehensive list? That's what you seem to be saying. You're saying, and what is that? That is only the case of a Kohen and a Yisrael and a Levi, right? And so on. That's what you're saying. But that's not a comprehensive list of the cases. So now the Mishnah is very confusing. You're saying, here's the rule, but I'm telling you, don't think that it applies across the board. It only applies in the following cases. That part isn't true either. The Ezuzu, these are the only cases, the Tulo. We'll give you an example of another case, all right? Here is a case of, so to speak, rule number one, or generality number one. How about a halal, a Kohen who is a halal, means that his mother, the birth was under Isurei Kihuna. His mother was a halalah, she had become mitchalalet by the actual act of conceiving him. So what about a case of a halal? He marries a Bas Yisrael. That's perfectly okay. The concept of a halal has absolutely zero implications to a Yisrael. They wouldn't have for the people that you'll speak to, or 80% of the people, what's a halal? I don't know what you're talking about, right? So it doesn't even appear in your shidduch site lists. Are you a halal? No, there's not even a checklist for a halal. So there's no avera, right? And yet, what's the halacha? Yesh kedushin, no avera. What should be the halacha? What is the halacha? Havlad holech achar hazachar. Because as we'll see later on, the bas halal zachar is asura lekuna. So she is a halala. Yeah? And that's a classic example of the Mishnah's rule. And yet it's not listed in the cases of, and what do I mean with my rule? How come? Says the Gemara, well, that's not a problem. I mean, can't the Mishnah be going according to Rabbi Steuber, Rabbi Yehuda? Remember, he said before that a Bas Yisrael is actually a mikveh tahira for halalim, meaning that if a halal marries a Bas Yisrael, the child bears no impact at all upon her, and she is allowed to marry, actually, a kohen. So, of course, the Tana didn't want to say that case because it isn't true. It does not go according to the Zohar, and therefore, it's not included. Oh, okay. But wait a minute. What about, I got another case. How about a Yisrael who is nasa a chalala? Now, over there, there's definitely Kiddushin, and there's definitely no Avera. And what's the deal about the child? The deal with the child over there is that the daughter is going to be Asura to the Kohen. Right? So, I don't get it. Well, how come you didn't say that? How come you left that case out? I didn't leave that case out. Excuse me. Now you're reading me in the opposite direction wrongly. You thought that I meant, when I said that the kol makom is not a klal and is totally defined by the Ezezu? No. I'm not saying totally defined. I'm saying that the Mishnah is a balance, okay? So the klal that you thought was a general rule in all cases actually comes to add other cases. It just doesn't tell you what the other cases are because it wants to leave it open according to these other pshatim. How do I know that? Because it says ve'ezezu. And that means this klal is not meant as a rule to apply across the board. So you took that to mean, so you went to the other extreme. So you took that to mean that when it said ezezu, that the ezezu, what does this include? That is a full list. No, it's not a full list. The Mishnah is a balance. So there are cases that are added in the klal that were halachachar hazachar, and there are cases that we're being mamayit from the Ezezu. Now, I'm not telling you all of the cases that were mamayit, and I'm not telling you all of the cases that were marabat. So therefore, when the Tana said kol makom in case one, which we called rule one, now it's not really a rule, let's call it set one, right? So anything in that set, I don't have to mention it specifically. So there is an element of a generality. It includes this case in which the child is going to be yesh kedushin ve'ein avera, and the child is indeed after the zohar, and there's no problem. She can marry a kohen. Yeah, great, okay. Or in the case where as long as the male is kosher, the child can marry a kohen. But, I mean, if that's the case, why not mention it? I don't understand. I mean, you have a problem? It's so easy to include it. Because, look, you said a kohen or a levi or a Yisrael that marries a kohenet, levia. I mean, it's so obvious how to just include it. Just throw in the word Yisraelit, levia, kohenet, or a chalala. So you just need to throw in one extra word. So why didn't you actually make it all mentioned? So then Vinit Nayobad, yeah, can't you just say it? The Azer Zoo, and then they say, this is the case. No, excuse me, you know, that's why you're not writing the Mishnah, okay? We need people that can write. I mean, go tell me how you're going to write the Mishnah like this, okay? You can't include that in the rule, silly. Mishnah de lo masile. Go ahead, tell me how you want to write it, okay? What do you want to say? A kohenet, a levia, a Yisraelit, or a chalala. Go ahead, tell me the rest of the sentence. Who marries a kohen, a levi, a Yisrael, and there's kedushin, and there's no avera? What are you talking about? Kedushin, no avera, chalala is not allowed to marry a kohen. So how can I throw in the word chalala? I would have to write a whole other case. Well, that's the whole point of the Mishnah. I don't want to write a whole other case. So memela, this is a Mishnah for dummies, or for very smart people, who can work out what each aspect is including and what each aspect is excluding. So now you're telling me, okay, we have something that is included. But I have no way of keeping it simple by throwing in the word halalah, so I left it out. Oh, well, all right, but there's other cases that should fit category one. What is that? Well, ha'ika de Rabba Bar Bar Chana. How about a case of Rabba Bar Bar Chana? Rabba Bar Bar Chana says like this. Now, this is where things start to get really interesting. The Omar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Let's talk about a male who is a second generational Mitzri, right? Now, the halacha is a Mitzri who becomes a ger, he is usur to marry into the Kahal Hashem. A Mitzri, his child, is also usur. But his grandchild, who is a third generation from the Giyur, now becomes mutter. So Mitzri Shlishi would be mutter. Now, what would be, said Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, in a case where a Mitzri Sheni, meaning the child of a ger who is a Mitzri, he marries a Giyoret who is a Mitzris. Now that is completely mutter, right? But what's the din of that child? The din of that child is that the child that they have is actually a Mitzri Shlishi, and he would be allowed to marry into the Kahal Hashem, and he could marry a normal Yisraelite. So, okay, this is classic. It's exactly what the first category of the Mishnah included in the what appeared to be the general ruling. So why don't we list it? And it says that it should go according to the father. Well, it does. The father was a Mitzri Sheni, in which case going according to the father makes him a Mitzri Shlishi. Why don't you say so? Says the Gemara, why don't I say so? Why should I say so? I told you that the kol makom is meant to be not a total rule, but it's certainly meant to create a set including other issues than what are mentioned, and that is included in the words kol makom. It's coming to include exactly this case of Rabba Bar Bar Chana. Okay, but what about according to Rav Dimi? Now, Rav Dimi argues, and Rav Dimi says that actually the halacha is that the child is considered to be a Mitzri Sheni, which means that we take the mother status of being a Mitzrit Rishona, and the child goes according to the mother. How come the child doesn't go according to the father? There was Kedushin, wasn't there? There was no Avera, correct? So this is a violation of the rule. That's right, it is. So what's the problem? That's why the Mishnah said, Ezuzu. Here is what I meant when I said the rule. I didn't say I meant this. Ha ha. So therefore, you're open to both Rav Dimi's approach in this and to Rabba Bar Bar Chana's approach. Fine. That's why the Torah said, and what does that include? To exclude exactly this case of Rav Dimi. Okay, wait a second. What about Rovin's case, okay? You say wherever there's Kedushin, remember, this is your, we'll call it category one instead of rule because we're saying it's not really a general rule. Category one, set number one. Now, here we have a violation of that set where it doesn't go according to the Zohar. Because Rovin, when Rovin came to Bavel, he quotes Rabbi Yochanan as saying, that where it's something that needs to define the other umas in the world, then you go after the zakar. So when I say that's talking about someone that marries a Kna'anit, let's say, someone from Greece marries a Kna'anit, is what's the child? Is the child a Kna'anit? Is the child Greek? Obviously, there's going to be big differences in terms of whether you're allowed to keep them alive, you're allowed to buy avadim from them, and so on. Okay, so Rovin said that while these people are not Jewish, so then it goes according to the Zohar. Now, this has nothing to do with our Mishnah, because obviously the first case in the Mishnah, category one, was talking about where there is Kedushin. Well, by definition, there's no Kedushin among Goyim. So this is not an issue b'chlal. But the next words are an issue, because it says Nidgairu, the moment that these Goyim become Jewish, then how do we determine what the child is from among a marriage between the Greek and the Canaanite, let's say? The din is, Halecha char hapagum shebishnehem. That's not what the Mishnah says. Is there any kind of avera involved in a Greek marrying a Canaanite? No. Is there a Kedushin? Yes, if they were Nisgayer, there's perfectly good Kedushin. And nonetheless, what we say over here is that whichever of them is worse, that's what the child is. And Gemara's going to explain that later. What do you mean, whichever is worse? Okay, but it seems that we do not go according to the Zohar. All right, so what's your problem? How many times do I have to explain the same thing? The Tana said beferish, Ezuzu, to exclude exactly that case. That's the point. So there never was a general rule. And because of that, we can work it out perfectly well that the Mishnah would be fine according to Rabbi Yossi, where there's Yesh Kedushin, Ve'en Avera, and nonetheless, it's okay because even though it doesn't follow Category 1, it follows the Ezezu of exclusions from Category 1. That's what you said, right? Okay, now, I want you to look over the idea in a general perspective. Let's see how this original issue that we raised, do we hold like Rabbi Yossi, or do we hold like Rabbi Yehuda in terms of a marriage between a ger and a mamzeret, right? So you're saying, well, it doesn't matter. We can work it out because we have both the Ezezu and we have the klal, kol makom. I don't agree. Because if you take a look at the Mishnah as a whole, you will see that you can't just take each case individually and fit it in wherever you want to. Very cute, but that's not the way to learn the Mishnah. Why? Because let's see how the whole Mishnah works, okay? Hi, Mai. Look, if you're ready to agree with my first answer to your question, and that is, I said, who's to say the Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yossi? The Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yehuda. Fine, so according to Rabbi Yehuda, then Eina Chinami, it was usher for the ger to marry a mamzeret, which means that according to him, this is a classic Category 2 situation. Yesh Kedushin, but there's an Avera. He's like anybody else, and he should not have married a mamzeret. That's Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Okay, so then if that would be the case, then we understand the first statement, Category 1, Kol Makom of the Reisha, is coming to include which case? Because, I mean, it's obviously including something other than what was said. Yes, all right, we already said what that case was. That was the case where we have a Yisrael who marries a Chalala, and the din is that we go according to the Zachar, that is Category 1, and therefore you are allowed to marry, the daughter is allowed to marry a Kohen, because we go according to the father, and the father was a Yisrael. So it includes that case. And it also includes, if you hold of Rabba Bar Bar Chana's case, I mean, maybe you don't, but if you hold of Rabba Bar Bar Chana, who says that in a case of a Mitzri Sheni who marries a Mitzri Rishona, which is, of course, another example of Yesh Kiddushin, the Ein Avera, and the halacha is it goes according to the Zohar. Fine. So that is all included in the Kol Makom. Inclusions, we've got two inclusions, and then we've got the Ezezu, which is the exclusion. So the exclusionary case would be to exclude Rav Dimi, and if you exclude Rav Dimi, in other words, obviously you can't hold both Rabba Bar Bar Chana and Rav Dimi. I mean, they're arguing at each other. But if you hold according to Rav Dimi, so then we say the Ezezu, and that excludes his case. Because basically Rav Dimi holds that the Mitzri Sheni and the Mitzri Rishona does not go according to the Zohar, but rather goes according to the mother, the Piguma, and that the child is considered to be a Mitzri Sheni. Okay, so then that would be a exclusion from Category 1, which would the exclusion would be an exclusion to allow for Rav Dimi, who argues in Rabba Bar Bar Chana. And then there was also the other exclusion, which had nothing to do with that, and that was the case where there is Kedushin and there is no Avera. And we said over there, whichever one, if you've got two different Goyim, now it's going to turn out that we're talking about, let's say, an Amoni marries a Mitzris. We're over there. There's advantages in being an Amoni, because then if your daughter is an Amoni, she's excluded from Amoni velo Amonit, and she's perfectly okay. Mashenken, if we go according to the Mitzri, your daughter is a Mitzri Cheney, and therefore she's not okay, but her daughter will be okay. Fine, okay, so we need to determine which one we go according to, right? Because if it's a male, it's the opposite. I mean, if it's a male child, then if he's an Amoni, he'll never be Mutter, but if he's a Mitzri, then he will be Mutter in one generation. So there you can see we need to define which one we go according to. And he said that over there you go according to whichever one is more pagum. Okay, then that's an exclusion from the general category one, which is there's no problem with the Kedushin, yesh Kedushin, there's no Avera, and therefore it ought to be included in the din that we go according to the male. Comes along Ravin and says, no, it's not included. Where does the Mishnah imply that Ravin could be correct? Because it said Ezuzu, to exclude something. So it's at least excluding Ravin. If you hold of Rav Dimi, it would even be including the case of Rav Dimi about a Mitzri who marries a Mitzrit. That's fine, okay? That's the way you've explained it, according to Rav Yehuda. Now, let me show you the overall perspective on the Mishnah. You'll see why I do not believe that you're right in trying to get the Mishnah to work out according to Rabbi Yossi. Okay, because according to Rabbi Yossi, remember, the child of the Gershonasa Mamzeres is actually a Mamzer, even though Yesh Kedushin Vein Avera, all right? So now, let me show you the rest of the Mishnah. If you're ready to say the whole Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Yehuda, so then what is Category 2, all right? Category 2 is Yesh Kedushin V'Yesh Avera. All right, what is that supposed rule, which you're saying is not an overall rule, but it's definitely a set. Tell me another member of the set. Okay, what's it coming to include? The komakom of the seifa is coming to include a case of a ger who married a mamzeret, and that is true. According to Rabbi Yehuda, a ger who marries a mamzeret is actually a category 2. That you go according to the pogrom. And that is absolutely correct, according to Rabbi Yehuda. The child is a mamzer. There you go. So we've got the whole Mishnah works out beautifully. But now, if you hold according to Rabbi Yossi, now we got a problem. Because according to Rabbi Yossi, this should be included in category 1, right? He holds that a ger is allowed to marry a mamzeret. So then this is a set 1, category 1 in our Mishnah, Yesh Kedushin. In Avera, and you made it work in, right? The komakom of the Reisha, okay, that is, according to Rabbi Yossi, the komakom, we said what that includes. That includes the case of a chalala, and so on, or the case of, depending how you hold, according to Rabbi Bar Bachon, it includes the case of a Mitzri Rishon. I mean, a Mitzri Sheni who marries a Mitzri Rishona. Okay, that's fine. The first case worked out, right? The Ezuzu of the first case also works out because we said that it excludes Rav Dimi's case. If you hold that a Mitzri who marries a Mitzris Rishaina, so according to Rav Dimi, this has to be excluded. Or in the case where you go after the Pogum, let's say a marriage between an Amoni and Mitzri, over there we go according to whichever one is more Pogum. Fine. But now, you think everything is clean, right? But it's not. Because if you hold like Rabbi Yossi, what is the extra case that is meant to be included in category 2? There's nothing to include. What are you going to say? In category 1, yes, you were right. But your approach was so limited in perspective that we didn't realize that we're messing up the rest of the mission by learning it like Rabbi Yossi. Because now, tell me what else is included in kol makom of category 2, okay? There is no additional kol makom. Give me another case where yesh kiddushin, yesh avera, and it's also, the halacha is, that it goes according to the pogrom. All of those cases are actually listed beferish in the Mishnah. What are we talking about? Yesh avera, with a manzer, nesina, whatever you want. Give me another case. Okay. I see you got a problem. Now, let me understand the implications of your problem. Your problem is that in your mind, you have set up basically a picture in which every piece of the Mishnah is meant to be functional, right? So you've got category 1, inclusion. Category 1, exclusion. Category 2, inclusion. Category 2, exclusion, and so on. That's how you're looking at the Mishnah, okay? And you're asking on me, what's included in category 2 if you hold that the Mishnah is going out libe to Rabbi Yossi? According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's great. I understand exactly what's included in the unmentioned additional members of the set called Category 2. The case of a ger shenasa mamzeres. Yesh kedushin, but yesh aveira, and the child goes according to the pogrom. Beautiful. But what are you going to say according to Rabbi Yossi? That's what you're asking me. I got news for you. Your picture, your naive picture of a Mishnah that's essentially an Excel sheet in which every one of your cells has a member is not true, okay? But you tell me how you understand the Mishnah according to your vision of the Mishnah. We're going according to Rabbi Yehuda. Now we've explained Category 1 inclusions, Category 1 exclusions. Category 2 inclusions, that's the case of a ger shenasa mamzeres. Category 2 exclusions? Uh-huh. Hello? Hello? Anybody for a Category 2 exclusion? You said every cell has a member. Okay. Tell me what the member is, according to you, of Category 2 exclusions. Azuzu. What's the Azuzu? Nothing. Ha-ha. There is no such case. So you have to admit to me, well, maybe it's a little naive to think that it's really a perfect Excel sheet and every single cell's got something in it. It doesn't mean that. We'll leave out a member of this cell, of Azuzu, in Category 2. Okay, that's exactly what I'm saying. The Mishnah is not meant to be naively interpreted as every single cell in the Mishnah's got it. There's no member that is added in Category 2 either. Not only is there no member that's excluded in Category 2, there's no member that's included. Once we set up the Mishnah as the Category 1, so we consider and continue to read the Mishnah like that. That's all. So therefore, Ella, what are you going to tell me? That since the Reisha has a Category 1, in which it said Azuzu, so the second case, Category 2, also has a cell for Azuzu to exclude others. That's just to keep it parallel. So I'm telling you the same thing. I did a Tana Reisha Komakom. You're right, I don't have anything to add to the Komakom in Category 2, but it's part of keeping the Mishnah parallel. So Tana Nami Sefa Komakom. Okay, so now it turns out we could read the Mishnah either according to Rabbi Yehuda or according to Rabbi Yossi. Now, you mentioned a moment before, right? You said, and it's talking about Ravin, who said that when you're talking about Goyim, we said maybe that's a marriage between a Kanani and a Yevani or whatever. I'd like to understand exactly what he was referring to. He said, Kiyasa Ravin Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Let me just remind you that you said that when it comes to deciding what a member of which nation you are, you go according to the male. But if Nidgayru, once the two members here, the male and the female, were Nidgayer, so then whichever of them is worse off. Wait, so what did you mean with that? What, I mean, who cares? Who cares? Why are we saying Bu'umot Ha'olech Achar HaZachar? Well, does it matter? Of course it matters. This is basically coming to decide the case that we have in the Braita. How do we know Yinai Le'echad Min Ha'umot? You've got, let's say, a Greek guy, and he took for a wife a Knanit. Knanit doesn't mean only a Knanit, obviously, but one of the Shiva Amamim that we are mechuyev not to allow to survive. And he takes a Knanit as a wife, and he has a child. So how do I know that you are allowed to buy the child of a Isha Knanit and buy him as an Eved, and that he's considered to be a Greek, and he's not considered to be a Canaanite? Talmud Lomar, therefore, comes along the Torah to explain exactly that point, where the Torah says, look, if I know I'm telling you, lo techayeh kol nishama, you're going to feel so, I mean, if I'm not allowed to keep any of these goyim, what are they good for? I thought they were only good for buying for avodim. And now you're telling me that they're not good for anything. I got to kill them. Does that make sense? I mean, lechora, there should be somebody that we're allowed to buy. So comes along the Torah and said, of course there's somebody you can come to buy. It says, ve'avdecha ve'amatecha asher yu lecha me'et ha'goyim asher svivotechem, meaning anybody from any country all over the world, as long as they're not from Canaan, so they're not part of the Shiva Amamim. Mehem tiknu eved ve'ama. Go right ahead. Buy avadim from them. And then comes another pasuk that's quite confusing, in which it says, V'gam mibnei hatoshavim. Mibnei hatoshavim? Yes. I thought you said the Toshavim. I'm not allowed to buy. No, the gam bibnei Toshavim hagarim imachem. Behem tiknu. Umimishpachtam asher imachem. From them, if they were holy, dubar tzechem. Vayulakam lachuzah. You can buy them. So what is that referring to? That's the whole point that we're looking for over here, and that's what Ravim was talking about. Let's analyze that pasuk. Began bibnei atoshavim agarim imachem ihem tiknu. People that had children, and they're living among you. So what does that mean? Yochol af evet sheba al shivcha mina umot. So you might think that an evet, and when we use the word evet over here, we're talking about bnei cham. In other words, bnei kanan, evet avadim, right? So you bought one of these Kananim, and he slept with this Greek woman, and he's got a child. You might think that it means, Gami bnei atoshavim, you're allowed to buy that child as an evet. No, therefore, it says in this pasuk, asher holidu ba'artzachem, people that are born in your country. What does that mean? That means that there were people that were visiting Canaan, and they took a Kanani woman. So that means you can buy min hanoladim ba'artzachem, those that are born. That means that a Greek guy had a child with a woman as a Kanani, that you're allowed to buy. But the opposite, lo min hagarim ba'artzachem, the opposite would be where the Kanani was the father, and they went overseas as itinerant workers, and they were cherry pickers in the U.S., and they married a woman who was an American, and then they moved back to Canaan, you know, which is where they come from, and they bring their kids with them. You might think that that is mutter because the mother is an American. No, that's not. That's considered to be a Kanani. So therefore, it's telling me that's exactly what Ravin said, that you go according to the father in order to determine whether the child is a Greek or whether the child is a Kanani, Chiti, Amori, and so on. Right? Okay, that was what Ravin said initially. Then when Ravin said, now, in a case where you have goy that became Gerim, so now they're both completely Jewish, Yesh Kiddush, Ein Avera, and yet what's the din? The din is, Halech Achar HaPagum Shebishneihem. Excuse me, but like, what would that be? I mean, we're not talking about buying slaves, obviously. These are Jews. What are we talking about? You think we're talking about where a male Mitzri married a female Ammoni? Then there's no more Pagum? Because the Ammonite is completely muteret. The Torah says Ammoni, but not Ammonite. And he says both of these people are pogumim, and you decide which one is more pogum according to the case. So the only case where that's possible is where you have a male Ammoni, and he has a pogam, which asers his children to come, b'kal Hashem, and he married a Mitzrit, which depends on her generation from the time of the Giyur. So therefore, it's coming to tell me that if their child is male, then call him an Ammoni, because then he's going to be Osir forever, and that Ammoni is more pogum. If the child is a female, so then if we would call that female an Ammoni, she would be Mutter immediately, because there is no Isra on female Ammoni children. So therefore, call her a Mitzri, because the woman who is a Mitzri is going to have to wait another generation before the child is mutter. That's what he's saying. Whichever one is worse, depending on the sex of the child, that is which parent it would go after. All right. Then you said, kol she'in lo alav kiddushin, in a case where there's no kiddushin at all, so then the halacha is that the child is a mamzer. Okay, so that tells me when kiddushin is impossible, meaning that there's an ister kares, how do we know that? That in this case, the kiddushin is not chal, that these two things are interrelated. The Omer Rabbi Chiya bar Rav, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, some say actually that it was not Omer Rabbi Yochanan, it was Omer Rabbi Yanai. And Rav Acha bar Eder Rava says, no, that's not what they say. Some say it was Rabbi Yossi Aglili, not Rabbi Yanai. Okay, so it's either Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yanai, Rabbi Yossi Aglili. But basically, take a look at the pasuk. The pasuk says, V'yatza mi beto, v'halcha v'hayta le'ish acher. So what are we talking about over here? A man divorces his wife, and it says, she should leave him, go if she leaves him and goes and marries somebody else, an ish acher. So what is the meaning of an ish acher? An ish acher means it has to be someone who is acher. It has to be someone who is different, meaning unrelated, not to someone who is a relative. That's what it's coming to tell me. And therefore, we see from there that there is no haita. Haita means kiddushin, right? There is no haita unless it's an ish acher. That's exactly the point. So now remember that we have a general halacha that we learned out in Yevamos. In Yevamos, we said that if the kiddushin is not teifes, and it's not teifes b'chayve krisis, how do we know it? Because since it says, lo yikach ish et eshet aviv, lo yigale knaf aviv, and the very next pasuk is, lo yavo mamzer b'kahal Hashem. So what exactly is lo yigale knaf aviv? So the Gemara came out with saying that we're talking about a case where the father, your father, had a yavama that he was supposed to take. And this yavama is a shomeret yavam to him. But wait a minute. What is that woman to you? Uh-oh. That woman to you is not just the Shomeret Yavam, which is a surah to everybody because of Lo Tiel Izar. To you, this is your father's brother's wife. Now, he's deceased, but a father's brother's wife is one of the Arayas in the Torah, right? Which is an Isser Kores. And the next pasuk is Lo Yavo Mamzer. So that's telling me that if there's no Kiddushin, Lo Yikach Ish, that means you're not, we're understanding it right now to mean Lo Yikach, you cannot take such a woman. So where there's no Kiddushin, Havlad Mamzer. That's the fundamental limud that we have. So from this pasuk, where it says, V'hayta le'ish acher, meaning that she's not a krova. And the word vahaita, remember, is always havaya, is always kedushin. This is the pasuk v'yatsa vahaita of makish havaya liyetziyah, right? So here it's telling us, where is their havaya? The havaya is in a case where it's not a korov. And this tells us that kedushin is not chal b'chlal. There's no tfisas kedushin. Okay? Now, is that so obvious? Says the Gemara, Maskifla Rabbi Abba, maybe it means Vaita Leish Acher, meaning not to include the guy's son, because the son, after all, it said about him that he's not supposed to marry her. It said Lo Yikach Eshet Aviv and Lo Yigalek Knaf Aviv. So this is coming to tell me that if the son tries to actually do Kiddushin, the Kiddushin won't be chal. Maybe that's all it's coming to tell me, but not that there's a general halacha that anybody else, only the one who is most related to the father, that's the son. Okay, so then it's telling me that it has to be someone else, but not the son, but not any one of the krovim. How do you know it doesn't mean that? What do you mean? It says that, Beferish, it says, Lo yikach ishet eshet aviv, then why would we need a other pasuk? The acher, therefore, must be saying, not only the son, anybody who's related. Acherim velo krovim. No, excuse me. I'm including that argument. I'm saying both of these psukim are defined by the son. And therefore, pasuk number one, which says, don't take, Lo yikach knaf aviv, Lo yigale knaf aviv. That doesn't mean that the Kedushin is in Chal. It means you're not allowed to, but doesn't say that the Kedushin is in Chal. Then we need this pasuk to tell me that if you attempt to make Kedushin of a woman who is Asura to you, of an Isser Kores, there's no Havaya. But only in this case. Since the Torah said don't do it, then we understand that the Acher is coming to say you cannot do it, even if you try. Okay. But how do you know to include every single case where there's an Isser Erva? So, Ema Idi Vidi Labin, and one is coming to tell me, Olachatchila V'Hodi Avad. Ah, no, because you forgot. We've got another case. The other case is Achot Isha, where the case over there is that if somebody married a woman and now he wants to marry her sister, it says the same lashon over there, lo tikach. So the lo tikach, I already know that you are not allowed and that there's no kiddushin. What we're assuming is the din of achot isha. So therefore, ma'achot isha bekaret lo tikadesh, and all of the other cases would be, I mean, we know the bain is a chi of misa, so chai v'misa is bezin lo kol shekein. So why do we need a pasuk to tell me the bain? Therefore, it must be coming to tell me that kiddushin isn't chal. Maybe that's the point. No, not necessarily, because what if both psukim are referring to, it's all referring to an achot isha, and lo yikach is coming to tell me that l'chatchila you can't, and la'achar is coming to tell me even b'di'avad, and then we'll learn out the ben, which is a kal v'chomer, it's a chai v'misa, so ha b'di'avad. Eino chinami, you're right, we do. We'll learn out the ben from achot isha, it's kal v'chomer. Okay, so then how do you know the other arayas? Ashar arayas b'nolan, you were telling me, I know all the arayas because it says la'achar below the krovim. Ah, okay, fine, that's your problem. We learn all the arayas out of achot isha. I mean, it's a mamatzinu, right? Achot isha is a wonderful example of a woman who is unique in terms of her relation to you. She's an erva, and there's a chi of karas if you take her. There's a chi of chatas if it's a shogeg. And it says these two psukim of lo yikach and v'haisala acher to tell me lo tafsi b'kedushin. Okay, then that's the general rule. It's a model. Af koshi erva v'chayoven azona karas, hashkagos achatas, lo tafsi b'kedushin. Great. No, not great. Because you're right, we could learn all of the cases, but there's certain cases where we wouldn't be able to learn it. Because what about an eishes ish? How do we know an eishes ish? How do we know of an eishes ach? Because if you say, well, why not? It's the same as your sister's wife. No, it's not. Your sister's wife, there is never any way to take her. Ein la heter b'makom mitzvah, an eishet ach, if it's a mitzvah of Yevamas, so then you do take an eishes ach, and you can't learn out, therefore, eishes ach, there's no chalos kedushin, because after all, the Torah even gives you a mitzvah to make it kedushin in certain cases. So, tomar b'eishes ach, she eish la heter b'makom mitzvah, and you can't learn out an eishes ish either, because ikal abivrach mala hanach shekein lahen ein la heter b'chaye osran. An eishes ish will never, I mean, all the arayas, even the achot isha, will never have any heter while the sister, the person who asked them, is alive. But an eishes ish, all you need is a get, and then she becomes like anybody else, and then all of a sudden we cancel the erva. How are you going to learn out from there that ein kedushin taivzin? So you see an eishes ish, yesh la heter b'chaye oisran. So that can't be the right place. It's not a mametzinu. Ela amar Reb Yona, this is the famous answer that we gave in Yevamos. Omer Reb Yona, Vitem Reb Huna Bered Reb Yeshua. This was Reb Yona's Hekesh. And that is, since the Pasuk ends the Parsha of Arayas with Kol Asher Yaseh Mikol HaToevot HaEla V'Nichratu, that means all Arayot compared to each other. Hukshu Kol Arayot Kulam, to the case of Achot Isha, just like Achot Isha Lo Tafsi B'Kedushin, Af Kol Arayot Kulam Lo Tafsi B'Kedushin. You'll say, so if that's the case, then even if the bride is a nida, then there shouldn't be a kedushin. So why did Abaya say that everybody is maida, that in a case where somebody sleeps with a nida, or this husband sleeps with his wife who became a saita, even though it may be usher, but the child is not a mamzer, why not? After all, it's an isser karet, the case of the nida. Omar Chizkia, because the pasuk says, "Utihi nidata alav," which teaches us, even while this woman is a nida, tehi, which means teheba, havaya. So you'll say, but wait, we have two possibilities. Maybe we should compare all the arayas to a nida. Why should we compare to achot isha? So michte, if we could use the nida as an example of an iser karis where the child is not a mamzer, why not make that the model? My chazita de makashu l'achot isha, go and be makisha to anida. Because we have a general rule where a hekesh can lead either to a kula or to a chumra. We choose the hekesh that tells us l'chumra. Kula v'chumra, L'chorma makshinan. Okay, Rabosai, that, by the way, is a Gavi rule. I want to make sure that he remembers to look it up and see whether he's already put it down. And that is L'kula v'chumra, L'chumra makshinan. Okay, everyone, that is an overview of the various categories of Isurim, which will continue tomorrow. It's unbelievable to have in, oh, this one parak, all of the issues, including the type of money, the type of das, the type of relationship, and the question of who the male and female are in an act of Kiddushin, what the levels of Isurin are, and the implications in terms of the Vlad.